Let's take our Bibles, if you will, and turn them to Genesis chapter number 17. The Lord gave me a little thought a while back. I'm not preaching it tonight, but since he is mentioning him over in Colossians, talked about seeing him who is invisible. And I preached on the who that is the him. The who that is the him.
The who that is the him.
And because I feel like the world's caught up in the what, when, where, how, and why. They're trying to get the answers to all that. But if you ever find out the who, you won't have to look for the what, when, where, how, and why. You'll find the who that is the him. And that's what we need, isn't it?
Yeah.
The who that is the him. But we're preaching on babies. Birthing experience. Paul said, my little children, whom I travail in birth again. As your pastor said, being born again. A constant process of which the Lord is developing us into the image of His Son. But I'm afraid so many times we point back to that initial, and of course that's where that life came from, that initial birth, that new creature in Christ Jesus. But He's not done with you just because He saved you. There's a lot more that He wants to birth in you. And those are birthing experiences that God brings to light and brings to life that become not just teachings or not just Bible studies or not just human experiences, but they become reality. They become not that which is born of the flesh, nor the will of man, but that which is born or birthed of God.
Amen.
And as I cross the country, the thing that I sense is missing in the church,
yes,
is this matter of births in individual Christian lives, where you can just see them. You can just see, like old Abraham, 100 years old. Could you imagine looking into this 100-year-old man's eyes when he came out of that tent after Isaac was born? He didn't have the look of death in his eyes, buddy. Oh, he said, I'm a young man. I got a boy to take care of. I got to raise that boy. I can't think about arthritis and all that other stuff. I got work to do. I got to work with this thing. I got a baby. And boy, to see people when they come into the house of God and the Lord is worked and wooed in their hearts and lives, and they say, preacher, I feel like the Lord has told me, He wants me to do this. He's birthed it in my heart. And boy, then the preacher don't have to fan it, and he don't have to pat you on the back, and he don't try to have to, that baby's born, it'll live.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid that the operations of today is the church trying to organize and place people in certain positions to do things that man wants them to do. And boy, you get around it and you realize that it's just a cycle of death, this operation of death. And they'll ride one wagon for a while and the wheel will come off from it and they get on another wagon. And they're excited about that new doll or that new Toys R Us thing. And then the wheel will fall off. It seemed like they never get... It looks like they'd wake up and say, you know, this stuff is just a cycle. It all ends up in nothing. And but what a wondrous blessing it is No matter whether it's a 16-year-old or a 60-year-old or 80-year-old, when you look into that eye and see there's a baby in there.
Yeah.
And it ain't ready to die. It's still living. Still got a spark. And what a blessing that is. And that's what we need in our hearts and our experiences with God. Is some new babies. I don't know if you've ever been to the rest home. I'm sure many of you have. As a pastor, I've visited many times and have since, even in evangelism. But the sad thing about going into that place is you see no babies. Everybody's just got old and waiting to pass off the scene. And that's what I feel when I go into Baptist church. I feel like I'm in a rest home. It's just maintenance. And everybody's just waiting around to die. But boy, I'm going to tell you, they just business picks up when the breath of God begins to birth things.
Yeah.
And the wind begins to blow, and you can see the sparkle in the eye.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, got a new baby on the way. It's been born. And how wonderful that is. But you know, they tell us that in Europe, I saw this on television just recently. I've heard it two or three times, but I actually saw it. They said that in Europe, that they have so emphasized this thing of population control that they're not even reproducing themselves. And so they're having to bring in immigrants from the Muslim world to do the labor. And the danger is now the Muslims are going to take over because they ain't got enough children. Well, I'm here to tell you the world is taking over the physical church because the spiritual church ain't been having no babies. That's why the atmosphere is Muslimic, I guess you'd say. It's full of death and bitterness and hatred and all that other stuff. There ain't been no babies born to God's people. And every now and then you'll stagger into a church and maybe some dear old saint had a baby born and everybody thinks she's gone crazy. They say, I don't know what's happened to her. She's 79 years old and she comes in there like she's 25. I was in a service. The woman was 90 years old. You ask my wife. She was the life of the crowd. And when you talked to her, you found out. She said to me, told me and my wife, she said, well, I've been over to the rest home this week visiting the old folks. She goes there every week, two or three times, and she said, I sat by their bedside reading them scriptures. She said, I figure one of these days old. And she's coming down the steps, and it's about six or seven steps in the front, and Esther's, you know, let me know. Oh, no, she said, I'm already bounced down them steps, boy. She was alive. And boy, the baby that was in her heart was ministering to old people. And you think about that, 90 years old, and she just lived to minister to old people. Because she wasn't old.
Renewed day.
By day. There's some of that verse right there. We need that verse.
Whoa.
Write that down. Renewed day by day. That's what that is. And babies being born keep you from getting old. And ain't you notice how to make you young? That's the good thing about grandyoungins. I ain't never grown up. I love children because I get to go back to being four again. And five. And you don't have to feel stupid about it. Because you're down there where those and the world is, I mean the mind, I mean, it's so alive. And you're just amazed. Again, at this new life. It's just bouncing around. And I like it when it comes so in the heart, don't you?
Yes.
That zing, it gets back in there. Now, I want to go, I want to read these verses here in Genesis chapter number 17 and verse number 18. Genesis 17, verse number 18. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Now, you know what Ishmael was. Ishmael was Abraham's plan B. God had already promised Abraham with Sarah a promised seed by the name of Isaac. But Abraham's impatient, and of course he's been down to Egypt. He's got Hagar and brought her back, and then Sarah gets involved in it, and she said, "Well, Abraham, how about we'll just make our own baby?" And they did, and of course Hagar births Ishmael into their lives. And Abraham cries out because he senses that it's a misfit. That's why he's praying. He's created this child that is a misfit for all that God wants. He won't fit in there nowhere. He tries to sing. He sings like an Ishmaelite. Even if he's called to preach, he preaches like an Ishmaelite. Everything about him is not the spirit of a child of God. He's Ishmael. But yet Abraham, in that plan B that he's worked out, said, "Oh, please, God, let my plan work for you. Let Ishmael do." And then, even before that, I noticed that before there was an Ishmael, that he had cried out to God in chapter 15 of Genesis, verse 2 and 3. Abraham said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abraham said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born into my house is mine heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This shall not be thine heir." As has been sung tonight, aren't you glad for the faithfulness of God in spite of us? Overruling us. As we constantly try to work out our little schedules with God, as far as we can see, we try to develop our plan and fit it into God's plan, but it never does work. Never will work. And the reason why it won't work is because God doesn't accept anything that He doesn't breathe life into. All right. He don't want any illegitimate children. He don't want no Toys R Us baby dolls, push button, and none of the rest. He wants something that is born of His Spirit. And Abraham is having a problem with that. But in Genesis chapter number 21, verse 5 through 8, we finally get to God's plan. And aren't you glad the Lord has a plan? He has a plan. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son, now we can finally call him son, Isaac, and he's got the right name, was born unto him. And Sarah, for the first time, is brought into it and said, "God hath made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me." And she said, "Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age." And the child grew and was weaned. What a wonderful day that was when the real baby came into existence. When there was a baby born that was designed by God Almighty, this baby called Isaac. Now I want to emphasize that what's happening in Abraham's life is that God has birthed His divine plan when He birthed Isaac. And I said this morning, and I'll say again for this Isaac in application, as Paul said, that this is an allegory, it has a deeper truth. Can I ask you, has God's plan been birthed into you? Is it your will, your way, your doings, whether it be religiously or whatever, Or has there been a genuine birth of an Isaac? Or God has taken over in your life and you knew when he took over and you knew that he was going to have his will and his way and what a difference it was going to make in your life because God was planning things now.
Amen.
The baby had been born and you could see God's plan. Have you ever looked at your plan and then looked at God's plan? Well, your plan becomes an ugly baby beside of God's plan. And boy, I mean, everything about Ishmael cried out that it wasn't in sync with God's plan. It's not mine. And Abraham knew that. He felt it. That's why he kept praying about it. He knew God hadn't accepted his plan. God hadn't accepted this boy. He wasn't what God had willed and designed. And so every time that Abraham tried to look at this boy as his son, as his promised son, God would say, he's not yours. He's not mine. He's not the plan. You ever have any Ishmaels in your life that when you looked at them, God said, nah, I'm not accepting that. But Lord, I already paid for it. It's out there in the carport. See, I know, but it ain't mine. It's yours, but it ain't mine. Huh? Mm. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? You ever make a work? Did you ever? I mean, this thing really to me, I realize that really all of life needs to be birthed, not a matter of being lucky or taking a chance or just sitting back and making your own choice and saying, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, let's see, let's go with the servant. No, maybe we'll just take Ishmael. Ah, well, we'll just see. No, it's Isaac or nothing. Nothing else matters because if God doesn't accept it, God doesn't design it, it's not going to work.
Amen.
I bought things that when I went and walked out with them, I knew. And some of them ain't been big things, but when I walked out, I knew that that was going to be an Ishmael. I knew that. You ever done that?
Yeah.
Huh? And I tell you something else too. I've gotten in my heart to straighten some people out and told them some things that when I told them and walked away, I knew that I had birthed an Ishmael with what I said to them, even though I might have quoted a little verse in it. It was an Ishmael. Even though this is born of Abraham, a man of faith, it's still Ishmael. You can't make any more out of Ishmael than what Ishmael is. He's Ishmael. He's not God's. Not God's. You ever just say, well, I think I'll just hire on over here. I think I'm going to get a job. And when you walked through the door and clocked in, you know, you knew that you were clocking in on Ishmael's time. Because this was not what God wanted for your life. You ever thought about that? Huh? And hey! And I say to young people, these young ladies here, have you ever seen a man say, boy, I like him, he's handsome, he's tall, and when you went out with him, you knew you was dating an Ishmael. Now, it doesn't mean that he was Ishmael, but it does mean that he was Ishmael as far as your life was concerned.
Yeah.
Huh? Are y'all understanding what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm talking about these babies that we have... We have created, we have designed, we have made up the plan, and now they're here. And God help us, we don't know what to do with them. They're Ishmaels. And our churches are filled. Plans and programs, and I know I'm preaching this to the choir, but I'm thankful that you don't have all of that. I'm just encouraging to keep on like you keep it on, and don't get caught up in all of this mess of trying to orchestrate and everything else and creating nothing but churches full of Ishmaels. Man's plan, plan B. Ishmael can never be any more than a plan B. It's all he's got. It's all he's got. But he's not God's plan. He's not God's plan. Now, let me just mention a few things about this matter of God birthing into Isaac's life his plan. I would call it plan A. What a difference it makes. First of all, I would suggest unto you that if Isaac is not born, and thank God he is born, I'm glad that the Lord does birth some things in our lives that takes us beyond the religious level and churchology and all that other stuff. Something that is real, thank God, it is real. But I'm going to tell you something. If Isaac isn't born, Abraham is stuck with plan B. And the best you can do in your own personal life is a plan B. I don't care what road you choose, it's going to run down to plan B. Unless somewhere God intervenes and brings an Isaac and bursts within you his design and his plan. And then when he does that, no longer will you have to depend upon your Ishmael, no longer will you have to mess with the Hagars, no longer. Oh, you'll look back and you'll remember that plan, but no, it won't do nothing but make you sick.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, Abraham, whatever happened to Hagar? Oh, don't talk about that. Well, where's Ishmael? I don't like to think about that. Well, what about Isaac? Yeah, we'll talk about that one. That is God's plan. And I'm here to tell you, for all of our lives as his children, he has a plan.
Yeah.
This is not a happenstance, a lucky chance. It's not an eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Life is God's plan for your life, and he will, and God help you if you don't have it. Be honest and say to him, Lord, would you birth into me that reality of knowing your plan for my life? Because if you don't, you're stuck with plan B, and that is Ishmael. And you know what the scripture said about Ishmael? The scripture tells us that Ishmael would be, in chapter number 16 and verse number 12, a wild man. Didn't say he wouldn't be a religious man. I'm sure that he was religious up to here. But he would be a wild man. And that he would be against, there would be a sense of warfare. Said every man's hand would be against him, and he'd be against every man. In other words, he wasn't going to be nothing but a big old fight is what it's going to be. Anywhere you find Israel, you're going to find tension. You're going to find strife. You're going to find heartache, even down to this day. The Arabs, and we're over there trying to change them. But you ain't going to change Ishmael.
No, no.
He is what he is. And he's mean, and he's wild, and he cannot be harnessed, nor can he be controlled, and God doesn't even try to. God hadn't tried to work with Ishmael like he did work with Isaac. He ain't out here trying to reform this world and make all our little Ishmaels to turn into Isaacs.
Yeah.
Let's have some education, reformation, and all that other stuff. And sure, we got a lot of Ishmaels, but if we work on them and teach them and train them and skill them and get them some religion, then maybe they can be more like I. No, they'll never be an Isaac. They are wild. They're wicked. And nothing's any meaner than the other son of Abraham that caused so much strife, this Ishmael. He'll just bring out the worst of the situation. I remember when President Bush, he talked about the Muslims, he said that they are a peaceful religion. Well, I want to group them all in a sack, all the way down to Baptist. You can put any name you want in there. All the religions you know. Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Muslims, Hindus, Hare Krishnas, the whole way. They're all mean. They're all, and excuse this phrase, they're all mean as hell. Is what they are. They're all full of the devil. That's yours and mine too, because religion ain't nothing but Ishmaelites. And you say, well, it's mean. It'll hurt you. If you don't believe it, you go over there to Israel, to Jerusalem, and stand at that wailing wall where you've got the mosque up on one side, and you've got the Jews on this side at that wailing wall, and I have never felt the tension of hate any stronger than I felt between those two religious groups who both claim to know God and love God. But they hate one another. And I have also been in Baptist churches where the sweet saints got it out with one another. And honey, nobody can throw rocks like a religious man can. Yeah. Because he feels like he's got the right. And his God is behind the rock throwing business. That's religion. That's Ishmael. But honey, that ain't Isaac. That's not what God's will and plan is. He's stuck with if God doesn't birth an Isaac, he's stuck with Ishmael and with that plan B. And that Ishmael is going to be so abrasive, going to be so ungodly, going to be so wicked, going to be so full of strife. He's going to be a wild man if Isaac's not born. You know, every now and then I get to feeling pretty religious. But the more religious I feel, the meaner I get. I sure do. But the more wicked I feel and unworthy and helpless I feel, it seems as though the more room I have for compassion and God's love within me. To realize that it took a birth to get me where I'm at. And it takes births to keep me where I'm at. If Isaac is not born, he's just going to be a wild man. That's the best he can have. If Isaac is not born, Abraham's left with plan B. But I'm going to tell you something else. If Isaac is not born, there's not going to be a miracle. Everything about Ishmael can be explained. There is no miracle there. There is no wonder about it, no amazement. Ishmael has been birthed by an Egyptian maiden, a slave that Abraham has brought back. And you can explain every bit of that. You can point that boy out right there and they can say, well, how did he come about? Well, you know, Abraham was down there in Egypt and he got this girl, brought her back, and then Sarah. It's all right there in the Scripture. You can explain it. You can put her down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Here's how he got here. You just point it out. That's why most folks can write a book on their religion, because you can explain it. Yeah. Here's how you build a church. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Of course, when you get to 7, you've got Ishmael. You can explain him. So, Wally, here's how you live the Christian life. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And it reads real good. Only problem is, when you get to 7, you've got an Ishmael. That's all you can produce. And you say, well, listen, I'm going to tell you something. The problem with religion, with the Ishmaelites in Abraham, stuck with an old boring explanation. He can explain everything about it. I don't want something I can understand. This world with religion, what it's constantly doing is trying to bring it down on a level where you can, as one mountain fellow said, you can explain it. See? This world can't understand this book, so what you do is you translate it down and down and down and down and down and down so everybody out there can understand it. We can explain it to them. And then we work out the church. I was talking to a fellow that claimed to be a pastor, and what his approach to evangelism was, this is the new way, is you go out in the community and you ask everybody what they would, if they had went to church, what would you want in church? And then you go back and you do it and invite them.
True.
I'm going to tell you, I like what that old prodigal elder brother said when he came down to the house and the prodigal son was in there. He said, what means these things? And I'm here to tell you, if the people of God are operating off of the mysteries and the miracle of the Isaacs, there's no explanation for that. Only faith can believe it. Yeah. But you know it's real because you can see him. He's alive. That's Isaac, say Abraham. Could you write a book on that and tell us how to get Isaacs? He said, no, I don't need to write no book on that. I can't tell you biologically how that happened. I'm 100 years old. We said, well, you must have your young chick. No, she's 90 years old. That's impossible. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's impossible. But God did it. Look at my Isaac. God did it. Look at him. I like it when God bursts something in our lives that there's no way to write it down, no way to explain it. It's impossible.
Amen.
Isaac born. Yeah. Yeah. This brother back here testifying. I take it you ain't been saved long, have you? Huh? Now, how long you been saved? About 5 months. Now, can y'all please explain to me how he went from what he was 6 months ago to what he is right now? Because, see, we could take this. If y'all could write it in a book, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, we'll take it to the prisons and the jails and all that other stuff, and we'll say, well, here's what you do. Do you drink any Alka-Seltzer or something on that day before you, and you know, and you do this and you do that. Here's the way it'll work. Oh, you got 7 cents. No, you're just going to produce an old religious Ishmaelite. What you got to understand is, honey, that gospel is unbelievable. How in the world are you going to believe that a man died, was buried, and then rose on the third day? How do you believe that? It's unbelievable. But thank God somehow through the spark of faith, an old sinner can believe that Jesus died for him, was buried, and rose again the third day. And Isaac's born, and it's too late. It's over. You won't shut him up. He's alive, and he'll grow. And all you'll do is step back and say, all you can do is shake your head. Don't ask me. I can't tell you. I mean, it's just, all I can say is we can narrow it down. It's God. It's God. Them babies, you don't explain them. So, Bill joined the church the other night. Oh, well, he'll be out in a while. That's all that's happened. But he got baptized. Oh, well, that'll dry off. You got your little Ishmael over there, have you? Yeah, well, watch him heal. But boy, if he's an Isaac, it's a miracle that's beyond definition and explanation. And that's what I'm talking about when God births a service. You come together in the service like we have tonight. And then you go and say, what kind of service you have? And you're thinking, how do I say that? I don't know. All I can tell you was God was there. I've never been one of them. Huh? And they ain't been in one. They've not been where Isaac's been born. You see my Isaac? Look here. I'm 100, but I can't get old. My goodness, I gotta work with this thing. My little Isaac, alive. You see, that's God's working in his life. And so as a result of that, he doesn't have to live with an old plan B. Aren't you glad you don't have to live in plan B? Don't have to live around all that wild religion. Thank God you can sense the freshness of a miracle. I'll tell you something else. If Isaac hadn't been born, there'd have never been any joy and laughter in Abraham's house.
Amen.
Real religious and pious. All right, let's stand and read our text and say our benediction. And the wife went up to Maine. And of course, I mean, once you get up into those, shamefully enough, those New England states were at one time in the 1700s, another time 1800s, they experienced revival.
Right.
To find out that most of those churches up there have turned into either filling stations or community buildings or whatever. They're just not there. Sad. Saying. I was talking to a fellow trying to witness to him, and I asked him, I said, do you know anything about the Lord Jesus? He said, well, actually, I read a couple of books when I was young because I thought, well, I might run into somebody like you, and I could talk sensible about the matter. And evidently, I was the first one he run into. Isn't that amazing? That's in America. But here's the one thing that's so eerie that Esther and I both talked about. We went from, I mean, after we got up in the New England states, we went from New York, we went New Jersey, Connecticut, Vermont, Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine. And I don't think I heard the sound of laughter, and we were with people all over there, over twice. You think about that. And I told a preacher that who does mission work in Europe, and he said, we said the same thing about Europe. Yeah. Eastern Europe. Said, went all over Eastern Europe and never heard the sound of laughter. Could you imagine what it was like around Abraham's home after Ishmael was born? God takes him. I hope God will let him make him be. He's a fine boy, ain't he, Sarah? Sarah, don't you think he'll make a good... You think he'll carry on the seed? I mean, Sarah, I know he's Hagar's, but Sarah, what about him, Sarah? Oh, Abraham, I wish you hadn't have done that. You're the one that told me to. I know, but I messed up and you did too. Shh, don't let him hear you. Don't say nothing about it, you. Poor boy. We're going to have to run him off. That's a real stillness. And then Isaac's born. You know what they called him Isaac for, don't you? Laughter. She said, because everybody, not laugh at me, she said, everybody now is going to be able to chuckle. They're going to laugh. Can you hear it? I mean, they're in the tent on the inside, and he's just been born, and Abraham saying, ah, 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 woo! Sarah saying, ah, 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 woo! The nurse is saying, ah, 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 and they bring the baby out, and everybody, and from then on, it was laughter. What was going on here tonight? Oh, they were tears, but they were not tears of sadness.
Right.
Tears of joy. Huh? And I heard quite a bit of laughter. Because I'm going to tell you something, when God gets his work done in your life, it just elevates that soul and that spirit into a worship and a thankfulness and a praise and the glory to where you don't have to feel like you're going to a funeral home every time you go to church.
Yeah, yeah.
Believe me, I'm in them a lot. But I don't put up with a lot. I tell them, funeral home around here. I told them one of them, and I said, if there's no more God around here than what's been here these 3 days I've been here, you need to close these doors and sell this place.
Amen.
That's my wife. She's sitting there. And I mean it. Why in the world do you want to play Ishmael? It ain't going to help nobody. It won't help you. There's nothing about Ishmael that's going to help anybody. But oh, when Isaac is born, honey, you can look into the eyes of those that see it and you can see God has come on the scene. Because he can't be explained. And everybody is rejoicing about the miracle of what has transpired. And let me give you this thought. And I close with it. This matter of God's plan has been birthed in his life. Boom. If it hadn't, he'd have been stuck with Ishmael. Oh. Heaven forbid I be stuck with my decisions and my plans and my will. How solemn it is and how it ends in such despair and how out of the will of God and unacceptable to God it is. But oh, when God's will is birthed, his plan ignited within our soul. Can I say to you lastly, when Isaac is born to Abraham, this birth is a birth that links everything to Christ. You can follow Ishmael as far as you want. He'll just go as far. Christ will be here and he'll head out in that direction. You'll never bring the two together. Amen. Even though you might try to explain it and say, well, all religions are the same and all of them lead to heaven. You better hope so if you follow Ishmael, because, honey, you ain't heading in the right direction. But I'm telling you, that birth of Isaac is such a birth that everything about it is headed in one direction. It's headed to God. Now, Ishmael will take you back to Abraham and take you back to Hagar, and you can follow Ishmael back all you want to, but you ain't going to follow him forward as far as Christ is concerned. But when you follow Isaac, you can't end up but one place. And that's Jesus. Yeah. And honey, when God births his son and his will in your life, he'll always head you out in one direction. You'll always be headed, no matter when and where you see Isaac. He's headed to Christ. And no matter what he's doing, he's headed to Christ. And no matter what's born of him, we'll take you to Christ. Even his children gave a footprint and headed to Christ. And finally, one day, Isaac's great, 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 great grandson was born. You know what his name was, don't you? Jesus. You see, my plans, I don't know where it'll take you. And how sad it is. I was reading in the news where there's one of those kickboxers who had been married once and had three youngins with that wife, and he was separated, and what he was trying to do was earn enough money. He had to leave the state because he couldn't make enough money to pay child support. I paid mine. Didn't you? And so, he was into this kickboxing, but he couldn't raise up enough money, but it said it never would work, but they were glorifying. I never had a job, but he just wanted to be big time in kickboxing. And it talked about how many people, how many young men he influenced in his laziness, I thought, and encouraged them to get into that kickboxing thing, and then finally, he got killed in it. And had married, and was shacking up with another woman, and she had three kids by him. Talk about an Ishmael. Every decision was an Ishmael. Yeah. And every direction and every influence was an Ishmael influence that only led to death and hell. That's where our plan goes. Well, I'm going to tell you something. When the Lord Jesus births his will within our lives, Boy, I'm going to tell you, everything that He does and every direction He sends us in and every word that He sends out of our mouths is a word and a direction and a plan that if people will hear and follow, it'll lead them to Christ.
Yeah.
Huh? It'll lead them to Christ. And we prayed that about our literal children that were born into this world, that the seed that come from us would lead others to Jesus. I don't care. I don't want them to be wealthy and have big time jobs and all that other Ishmaelite stuff of which we're raising our children for in this day. I just want them to be little Isaacs. That when everybody looks at them, somehow there'll be a sign that'll point them toward Jesus. An Isaac that'll say, "Hey, look there. There is Jesus." God's will, God's plan is birthed finally in Abraham's life. And if you're saved, that's that initial plan. But I'm going to say to you, God's got a plan for the rest of your life also. You don't have to get old and sit around and talk about how old you are. God has an Isaac that'll keep you kicking high and carrying folks to Christ. I'm talking about Bible births. A birth of God's plan for your life. Let's stand and bow our heads.